It is December 19th, 2022, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from Friday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. The Financial Times has a front page video titled Fractured Markets, the Big Threats to the Financial System, that looks at the impact of easy money and interest rates that were too low. The description of the video says, FT experts and financial industry insiders examine where the next big threats to the global financial system lie and explain why, when the tide goes out, we can see who is swimming naked. The U.S. government is about $4 billion ahead on its sales of oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve at the height of Ukraine wartime oil prices, according to the Wall Street Journal. Of course, they have not replaced those barrels of oil yet, or in futures terms, covered their shorts. Speaking of shorts, the journal also reports that one in four companies that went public by initial public offering in 2020 and 2021 currently trades below $2 and is at risk of being delisted. Sam Bankman-Fried has waffled on whether to fight his extradition from the Bahamas, but the latest word is he is going to consent to it, according to the Wall Street Journal. SBF would have another shot at asking for bail once in the U.S., which he might be more likely to receive. So far, he is facing charges that could send him to jail for 115 years. Twitter has restricted the free promotion of other social media platforms, including Facebook, Instagram, and Mastodon, according to the Wall Street Journal. This is the latest of the new rules under owner Elon Musk. Mr. Musk has run a poll on Twitter as to whether he should step down from his role as Twitter CEO, and it currently shows 57.5% wanting him to step down. Exchange Analytics has expanded its AML course to address global standards and to allow optional content covering expectations for key jurisdictions. There are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Our MarketsWiki education short of the day is David Krein, Career Planning in Today's Financial Industry. In this MarketsWiki education talk, David Krein dispenses wisdom both timeless and timely. Through tales and anecdotes, Krein reminds us all that the only constant is change, and today's job market requires consistent matching of one's skill set to the needs of the market. One must also remain introspective and be honest about what one really wants out of life. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story out of Syracuse University. Maxwell alum Bill Brodsky and wife turn orange power and purpose into a lifetime of civic leadership. For more than 50 years, Syracuse University has been the one constant in the personal and professional lives of William Bill Brodsky, 65, and law school, 68, Joan Breyer Brodsky, 67, and graduate school, 68. They were together on campus as students. They forged careers grounded in their academic interest and their commitment to public service, civic leadership, and philanthropy dates back decades too. My comment, we missed this story from December 16th about a couple of my favorite people and the incredible lifetime of civic leadership they have led. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. Problem gambling is on the rise among young men. Jonathan Jones traces his gambling struggles back to a video game he played in the fifth grade. Using lunch money or stealing small amounts from his parents, he would buy gaming gift cards and redeem them to spin a virtual wheel of fortune to collect prizes such as weapons or armor that could help him win games. Zoo Online, which is now discontinued. He would keep paying to spin again and again, a behavior that he says became compulsive and continued into other games. My comment: I took my video game playing enthusiasm, never an addiction, and used it to improve my electronic trading skills. I used to play Duke Nukem in the afternoons after the market closed in order to practice my finger and typing dexterity to improve my order entry skills on the TOPS order routing system. Here's a story from Bloomberg. A 35,000% stock market return in Europe? Here's how. Orcs, animal semen, and stock market voodoo lead to the holy grail of investing. Henrik Larsen Lyon told me he doesn't pay a lot of attention to Hexatronic Group's AB share price. If I was chief executive of the Swedish fiber optic cabling group, I'd think of little else. Acquisitions and booming sales in the US, UK, and Germany have boosted its value more than tenfold, 900% in the past 2 years, and generated a 35,000% return since 2012 in US dollar terms, an astonishing 55,000% return in local currency. My comment: this is the Holy Grail. Here's another story from Bloomberg. The world is addicted to chicken. So is the bird virus flu. A rapidly spreading epidemic is endangering much more than festive turkeys. The bird flu outbreak ravaging global poultry flocks is now the worst since records began, driving a spike in the price of eggs, threatening free-range chicken, and risking long-term impacts to animal health. My comment: the hardest part of this is getting the free-range chicken to wear the masks. They are too independent to give a cluck. Here is a story from the Financial Times. The great crypto crisis is upon us. Any regulation needs to look at what tangible economic benefits the industry actually offers. There's a bitter irony in the turmoil currently gripping the crypto universe. Crypto was born in the depth of the great financial crisis of 2008 as a backlash against the failings of the conventional financial system, with its over-leveraged shadow banks and daisy chain of leverage and maturity mismatch. The original Bitcoin white paper, published that same year, sold a vision in which money was refashioned as a self-sustaining system of peer-to-peer transfer without the need for intermediaries. However, today's upheaval bears all the hallmarks of precisely the failings that the industry's early proponents railed against. As firms collapse and coin prices crash, the unraveling of this new daisy chain of over-leveraged shadow crypto banks is now in full flow. My comment: in an ironic twist, central bank digital currencies are the future of crypto. Here are the top three stories from Friday's JLN. Friday was a trifecta for the Financial Times. Our top story on Friday was Binance outflows hit $6 billion as Mazars halts proof of reserves work, from the Financial Times about Binance's accounting firm. Second was FTX charges leave industry's image in tatters, also from the Financial Times. And third was the Financial Times SEC doubles down on decision to reject Grayscale spot ETF. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. First, a story from Bloomberg. China allows investors to trade foreign firms via Hong Kong stock links. Chinese investors will soon be able to buy and sell shares of international companies with a primary listing on Hong Kong's stock exchange in a move that may encourage more firms to sell new shares in the city. Securities regulators in both mainland China and Hong Kong agreed to expand the scope of stocks eligible for inclusion in the city's trading links, with Shanghai and Shenzhen, according to statements including by Hong Kong Exchanges and Clearing Limited on Monday. Preparation for the new proposals will take approximately 3 months, and the official launch date will be announced in due course, according to the HKEX statement. Here's another story, this one from Reuters. EU strikes deal to boost carbon market, Europe's biggest climate policy. European Union negotiators reached a political deal on Sunday to overhaul the bloc's carbon market, cutting planet heating emissions faster and imposing new CO2 costs on fuels used in road transport and buildings from 2027. The EU carbon market requires around 10,000 power plants and factories to buy CO2 permits when they pollute, a system central to meeting the EU's target to cut its net emissions 55% by 2030 compared with 1990 levels. And then finally, the third story is from Bloomberg. Hedge funds say they lost $95 million in LME nickel crisis. AQR, DRW, and others want answers on decision-making in March. LME said the request is a misconceived phishing exercise. A group of hedge funds led by AQR Capital Management, LLC, said that they lost a combined $95 million during a turbulent few days when the London Metal Exchange controversially canceled billions of dollars in nickel trades and suspended the market. The group of funds on Friday applied to force LME to hand over information related to two key phone calls on March 8th, the day the trades were canceled. AQR investment officer Clifford Asness has been among the most vocal critics of the LME's actions during the crisis, describing the events as one of the worst things I've ever seen. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.